We're going to take a reading this morning from the Psalms. If you want to turn to the book of Psalms, and we're going to read the 84th Psalm this morning, Psalm 84. And I'm going to read the entirety of that Psalm today and take a text from verses 10 through 12. Psalm 84. The title of this Psalm is "To the Chief Musician upon Giddith," probably a musical instrument that it's not clear to scholars what that means, but probably a style or a musical instrument, a psalm for the sons of Korah. That's the title. Let us read the word of the Lord this morning. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. It's going to be our reading this morning. I think almost the entirety of the message this morning will be around Psalm 84. I have titled this message, "We Call It Home." We call it home. And this 84th Psalm, we don't know who wrote it. Charles Spurgeon said that it smells like it was written by David. Now, I don't know how psalms smell, but I think he was referring to the sweet savor of the praise that was given to the Lord in this. And it does sound like a psalm written by David. But most certainly it was written by someone who longed to be in the house of God. Not because he was backslidden or had chosen not to be in the house of God, but because his circumstances caused him to be away and he just couldn't wait to get back to the Lord's house. I thought about someone who was serving their country and maybe they were deployed and not able to be in the place that they call home to worship. Or I thought about a nurse who is attending to the sick and has to be at the bedside of a patient on a Sunday and isn't able to be at the house of God. I thought about in 2020, about this time of year, when we were told that we couldn't congregate. And we tried to find various methods to be able to come back together without being in a crowd. We longed to be in the house of God. And it wasn't a burden to us. Maybe sometimes attending church or doing something for the Lord becomes a burden to us. But then at times when we can't do that, we long for it. And David was in many times of his life like that, where he was in a circumstance where he couldn't go to the house of the Lord. And his heart was just longing for the house of God. And that's the way Psalm 84 is written. It's with this longing expectation to be in the presence of the Lord and looking forward to the day when he could be. You know, whenever our soul is saved, when we are made new in the blood of Christ, there are things that happen inside of us that make us different than we used to be. We call this regeneration. And the regenerate heart longs for God, longs to be in the presence of God, and loves God and loves His ways. In fact, I think this is one of the surest signs of our being made new, is we love the Lord. We love His people, and there's something that comes from within us that doesn't have to be manufactured, where maybe before when we were in the presence of God, we felt like we wanted to run away. Now, once we're saved by the grace of God, it's our desire to run to Him. In this song, we see that desire. There's a longing for the house of the Lord, and there was also a longing for the Lord of the house, this desire to be in the presence of God. Also, we see in this psalm, we see a testimony of what it is to be one of God's children. I was thinking as I was preparing for the message this morning, what do people see about my life in relation to my service for the Lord? What's my posture? I wanted us to reflect on that a little bit. If you were to hear from David here, and maybe he was around Philistines or people that didn't know the Lord, they would learn that he thought about God very fondly, and he longed to be in the presence of God. It was his delight. I was so glad when the kids came up and sang that song, and one of the lines that says, "I have lived in the goodness of God." I think that's our testimony, and that's the way that we should reflect our feelings about God. Not that we must just as slaves do what God has commanded us to do, but that we love His ways. That it is the best life to live for God. That if we could choose to do anything, and we can, we would choose to be in the house of the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we would always be in church, but it's always our desire to be in the presence of the Lord because we love Him. Too many times Christians give off the posture, "Well, I can't do that because I'm a Christian. Or there are rules that I have to follow. I wish I could do what the world does, but if I were to try to do it, I wouldn't get by. Or, you know, if I tried to do what I wanted to do, I would just get punished, and that's the thing that keeps me from doing what I really want to do." Have you ever thought about the way that looks to the world? That looks like restriction. That looks like living according to law. And oftentimes, God's people give off that testimony, that I just have to do what God wants me to do or tells me to do. It's a command, not a suggestion. And that's true. But David is saying, better is a day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. I can choose any way I want to go. I'm a free individual, and where I want to be is in the presence of God. I want to live not just on Sunday, but every day of the week in the will of God. You see, that's the way I read this psalm. I hear this testimony, and it's, "Lord, I want to be in the center of your will." Why would we want to be anywhere else? You think about it. Your life is a very short period of time
on this earth. And there's no better time than when we're right in the center of God's will and we can sense His blessing and His favor upon our life. Our testimony, we long for it to be when we come to our last day. Even though maybe I have struggled to be faithful to God, He has always been faithful to me. And it has been a great privilege to live in the goodness of God. May that be our testimony. May that be our testimony. Always longing for the house of the Lord. We're talking about the house of the Lord. You know, this church is God's house. Not the only place. You know, I think in David's time, he was speaking about the temple. He was speaking about Jerusalem. They oftentimes would take pilgrimages to go. And when it talks about them walking and going to Zion, it was talking about them going back to the place where God has put His seal of approval and that He was going to meet them there. And Calvary Church is a place like that, in that we have set aside this house to say that it's reserved solely for the worship of God, and that when we come here to honor Him, and we're going to glorify His name, and the activities that are going to be done here are prayers and giving and the preaching of the Word and the fellowship of the saints. Isn't that wonderful that we have a place like that? That we can go, and when we're not able to go, our hearts should just long to go. We call it home, is what was on my heart, is the church, is the being in the presence of God, is like being home. Sometimes we think about heaven. There's a song that says, you know, they call it heaven, I call it home. What do we long for in heaven? But for to be in the presence of God for all of eternity. That's what I long for about heaven. Heaven is going to feel like home because God, I'm going to be in the presence of God there without the limitations of this flesh, and I'll be walking in His presence. Rather than the blood that flows through me that gives me life, I'm going to be living by the presence of the Spirit of God in heaven, and it's going to be a wonderful place. I spoke about it this morning in Sunday school. I'm convinced we don't know very much about heaven today. And you can argue, so I know a lot about heaven. It's, you know, streets of pure gold and the pearly gates and all this, but what does that really mean? I don't know. I just know it's going to be better than anything we can imagine on this earth, and it's going to be more home than any home that we've ever known. It's going to be wonderful, and our hearts should long for that. The ladies that sing Homesick. And I'm just going to be transparent with you. There were some times when I was younger that I thought, I don't know why that's so moving to people. It was a good song. They did a good job with it. I wasn't saying that it wasn't pretty. Homesick? I don't know. I don't know what you mean by homesick. As I'm getting a little older, I'm thinking about how beautiful heaven must be. I'm like, you know, I love to be here living, doing what God wants me to do in His presence. But there, it's going to be so much better. And many times, this world is filled with the roller coaster of life. And it's like one moment I just feel like I'm in the presence of God nothing can go wrong. Everything is exactly the way God wants it to be in my life. And other times, what? I just want to be in the presence of God. I long for the Lord. My soul longs for the Lord. There's a couple of things I want to point out in this verse before we get to verse 10. First of all, the first two verses, he says, how lovely are your dwelling places, your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. That's desire. That's the soul that's regenerated by the Spirit of God, longing to be with its Savior and Creator, that we as people long to be in the presence of God. And I look at that a couple different ways. One, I love to be in good services. I love to be in places where the Spirit of God makes Himself manifest, and we just have no doubt but God's Spirit is in our midst. You may think I'm silly, but I feel that about every time we get together. Some more than others, but yet even this morning as we've gathered together and we sang, "Holy, holy, holy," it became upon me that God hears our praise. That He has come with us, that He is here, that we are upholding the Word of God by the Spirit of God. We are worshiping the Son of God, that God is being praised unlike He is in a lot of places this morning. In this place, God's name is being lifted up and praised. I just love that. But we can be in the presence of God, not in this house. When we're in the center of God's will and we're doing what He wants us to, and He manifests Himself in such a way that He affirms that He is with us, we long for that. We long for that. My heart longs for that. If you're saved, your heart longs for that. It could be that you've grown cold and you say, "I can't feel that." Go ahead and confess that to God, that you feel cold, that you want to come back, that you're ready to come home. And I will tell you, He will warm your heart by the Spirit of God and let you know, "Come home, my child. You can come back." You might be thinking, "There's no hope for me. Yeah, I want to be in the presence of God, but I'm so cold, it could never happen to me." Just take that to the Lord. Let Him know your desires. Let Him know what you want. And I'll guarantee you, He'll take you back home. He'll take you back home. You've not strayed too far. Verses 3 and 4 says that the altars of God are very much like a home. He said, "Yea, the sparrow has found a house, the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising thee." Now, there, I don't know if he was referring to birds making a nest actually at the altar, and the laying her eggs. It actually means putting them in order and ordering them there. And I don't know if he's referring specifically to them doing that on the altar, or if what he's saying is like a bird has a nest for its home and orders its young and has a place for them to cultivate and grow, so are your altars unto me, O Lord. Like that, I have a place where I can bring my children. And I can arrange them and we can nurture them together and they can grow and they can flourish. Oh Lord, I want to raise my family in the house of God. Now, if I'm taking liberty with this text, forgive me. I've been trying to figure out what he meant by this, but that's true. I want to tell our young parents here this morning, there is no better place to have your children than in the house of God. Raise your little ones in the church. Show them how much you love to be in the house of God. Not because you have to be to check a box, but because you long to be in the presence of the Lord, the one whom your soul loves. It's the way of blessing. Don't get caught up in the things of this world and neglect the house of God, but bring your children, raise them in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's the blessed way. It's the way that, and you know, that has to come. Children can tell the difference between I just go to church because I have to have social standing. And I'm going to be in the presence of God. When we wake up and we get our children together, we bring them to this place. We do so because we long to be in the presence of God. Our soul delights in the presence of God. We love to worship Him. We love His name. We love His name is holy and it is our pleasure. We have lived in the blessings of God and we want to worship Him. And children look at that and they notice that and they start to long for that themselves and say, "The way I saw that love in my parents, I want to live out that love in my life." And it's like a home.
Hey, birds have their nests. God prepares a home for them. The family and the church are a home for God's people. The family and the church are a home for God's people. I didn't get to be raised in a church home. Now, I went to church quite a bit when I was a kid, but I didn't know what it was to have a church home. It is one of the delights of my life to raise my children in a church home. I want you to hear me. One of the delights of my life is that mine, and they're kind of spread out now because they're kind of too cool for school, but some are over here, the little one's somewhere else. Where's Emerald? Okay, right over here with some of her family. As the bird kind of orders its nest, so are your altars, O Lord, to my soul, to my family. We call it home. We call it home. Also, in verses 5 through 7, it talks about how that when you live in the presence of God, that there are continued blessings. And 5 through 7 is actually tough reading in the King James. Even my King James Bible has a note to the side and says, read this revised version. It's a little more clear. So I'm going to read you a revised version. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. As they go through the valley of Baca, and that word means weeping. As they go through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers its pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. Now, what I got out of that was, as we're on our journey to the house of God, there are a lot of times of weeping. And what he's saying here is that even those times are times of blessing, and that God blesses his children. They go through the valley of weeping. They make it a place of springs. The early rain covers it with pools. As we woke up this morning and we saw the fruit of the evidence of the rain upon our land, most of us probably thanked God for it, especially because of the last 2 years of 3 years of drought, and we need it. And we love the green, that grass is growing, that God has put his favor upon our land. Living for God is like that. Living for God is like always thanking God for the rain that he sends. And even when it's times of weeping, we know that God is with us. He's not left us comfortless. But yet the favor of God rests upon his children in times of weeping, in times of blessing. Whether we're struggling or whether we're experiencing a harvest, in all times when we're living in the presence of God, his favor is upon us. And that is our testimony. All my life he has been faithful. All my life he has been so, so good. Has everything been good? No. But all my life he has been faithful. All my life he has been good. And he has turned the place of weeping to be the place of springs and pools. And that God's blessing and his favor has been upon me ever since he saved my soul. And I don't want to go anywhere else. It's home. And there's been tough times. Times of weeping. You may look at me and you think, oh, it's easy for him to say that because everything's always been good. You don't know. It's not been. But it's always been blessed. Because God's there. That's the thing that makes the difference. If you've got God in your life, his favors upon your life, you long for that. I just need the Lord. You know, there's a song that says, take the whole world, but give me Jesus. It's not that this life doesn't matter. This life does matter. But life lived outside of the blessings of God is a waste. Don't live your life outside of His favor. It's a waste. You only have so much time. Live in the blessings of God, and you can. It's not so far from you to say, I'm just going to resign what I want in the flesh to what I want in the spirit, and I'm going to follow after better things. We want the same. If we've been saved, we want the same thing God wants in our life. But oftentimes we fight this flesh. Want the better things. Long for the better things. Live for the better things. Don't waste this life on the things of earth that are here for a moment and then vanish away. Live for eternal things. Oh, that the church would get heaven on our minds. Not just wishing we could go from here to there, but that we would live in the presence of God here, like the Lord taught us to pray. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Sometimes I feel like the church's witness sounds something like this. And I know I'm sounding critical, so I'm going to try not to. But it sounds something like this. This world's a mess. Call us out of it, please, Lord, so we can be happy and be at home. Get us out of here. Oh, I just rue the day for my children. I just can't even bear to think about what my children and grandchildren are going to go through. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, how bad it is for young families today. They just, they don't have any hope. Call us out, Lord. He's coming back maybe morning or noon or midnight. We need to get out of here. The world's being destroyed right before our very eyes. Et cetera, et cetera. Huh? We're living in the promised land. We're drinking from wells we didn't dig, living in houses we didn't build, eating from gardens that we didn't plant. We're pilgrims and strangers in a world that is crooked and perverse, but yet God's favor is upon us. So live in the favor of God, not according to the wickedness of this world. And you can see that this life, God has a purpose for you here. To live in His will while you're here, that you might bring others with you as you're journeying to Zion, that they might hear about the goodness of God and come with you and say, I want to know more about Him. Boy, we've got good news to share with the world. You're included too. Did you know that Jesus died for you too? I was just a sinner that came in. I was adopted. I didn't have birthright. I was one of these that was just an orphan without a home. And God reached down and showed His love for me and took me in. And that's why I'm in this house. And I long to be in this house. I love to be in this house, and I just look forward to God sweeping up more those that are disenfranchised and those that feel like there's no hope, because they hear about the goodness of God as we're singing the songs of Zion, as we're going home and to be in the presence of God, living in the rain, the early and the latter rain of the Lord, and reaping some of the harvest that people might come along and say, can I have a part of that too? And we tell them most certainly. It's available to all who call upon His name. Now, I didn't tell you the world's not a mess. I'm just saying the world's been a mess for a really long time. But we're living as pilgrims and strangers in the midst of that, but not strangers to God. Pilgrims and strangers to this world, but children of God. Now, I said more about that than I was going to say, so I'll say less about this than I was going to say. Verses 10 through 12. He just says, a day in thy courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Love that. A day in thy courts. Now, the courts was where around the temple where they would have performed worship. When it talks about the altars, it's where they would perform worship. It's better to be a day, meaning a very short period of time, in the Lord's courts than 1,000 somewhere else. One moment in the presence of the Lord will be better than an eternity anywhere else. Huh? Yeah. Just a moment, Lord, if I could be in your presence, it would be better than 1,000 years anywhere else. The second thing it says in our text verse, better to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. There's a lot here, but it's funny. I was greeted, I think, 3 times this morning by our doorkeepers. We have some good ones that are over here, and I go back and forth between the fellowship hall, and every time they shake my hand and tell me how glad they are I'm here. And I tell them, I'm really glad to be here too. And I'm really glad that you're here too. Better to be a doorkeeper in the house of our God. So that word means to be sitting in the threshold. And the idea is that you're just, if you think about the threshold of the door, you're just barely inside it. And it's a humble position, because you don't get to participate in some of the things that the others are participating in, because you're in the threshold, sitting there, stable, greeting or letting people in. That's your role. It was the role of a servant. And he said, it's better to be in the threshold of God's house than to dwell. That means to be fully in tents, which are temporary dwelling places, of wickedness. There's a lot of tents of wickedness that you'll never feel comfortable in if you're one of God's children, but that people will welcome you in. Come in here. Lay your testimony down here. You'll be accepted here. It's better. You'll get pleasure here. David, who's in his right mind at this moment, is thinking about that and saying, I would rather just be on the edge of God's house as a servant, lowly, than to have a place called home that's a tent of wickedness. A tent, because one day it's going to be done away. God's house will remain forever. But the tents of wickedness will be destroyed. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. The third thing, the Lord God is a sun and a shield. Blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. I'm going to reserve this for a little later, but the sun is so vital to our life. It's probably one of the most amazing natural phenomenons that we know. The way the sun warms and lightens the earth. Beyond human understanding how this all came to pass, except for by the word of God. Lord, you are my son. The shield was probably the most necessary, temporary, or man-made element for a person to have for protection. Lord, you are my shield. And he says, the Lord will give grace and glory. That's our testimony. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. It was just a God thing that those kids sing that song, because I'm wanting to preach their song. I have lived in the goodness of God. And that's our testimony. That's our song. He saved my soul. He's been with me. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And I long to be in his presence, in his house. To me, it feels like home. And the last verse of this psalm says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusts in thee. And truly blessed we are. You know, as we finish here, I just wanted to say, if there's any that are in this house that you don't know the Lord, you're missing out on everything that life is. You need to be saved. If this morning you're lost, you don't know the Lord, He's the greatest thing there is. And if He's calling upon your heart, I want to encourage you to seek Him and seek Him early. And also to God's children, don't forget that He's where the joy is. He's where the life is. He's everything. Being in His presence is right at home. God bless you. Why don't we have a song? As we sing together in worship, we want to praise His name, for it is worthy to be praised.